Dove la politica si orienta, sì, con il mondo di un'attività di mondo. Whether it is having the engineering or what is the technology to you to give us an overview of the actions that you would do.
Thank you very much, Professor. Members, we want to declare upfront that we were complied with the rules of the House. We submitted our ACT to the Parliament according to the rules. We are today bringing the presentation on the ACT and the finances. We have also completed the file. That file is our operational plan for the department, and we have divided the operational plan in terms of the 9 provinces. What is it that we are going to do in each province? We also have for the working document in the department the project register, which we are approving it as time goes on, so it is very difficult to submit it now because we still have to confirm. So some of the projects now, the 10-year project, I find that the starting point is not really to put the structure, we need to do EIA, we need to do all these sorts of things. So now we are sorting out all the projects and putting in place what is happening in each project. So
thank you, Chair. Thank you, DM. Thank you, Honourable Members. As indicated yesterday, today we will present then the annual performance plan of the department. We still continue in terms of our work, working towards the strategy of radical socio-economic transformation. You would note that we have been working on radical economic transformation underpinned by an integrated transformation system for the past few years, and that dictates then the programs that we are driving as a department. You will also note that we have aligned ourselves in terms of the 9-point plan, where last year we had to drive the work under the Agri-Park, as well as fast-tracking land reform with specific focus then on the strengthening of relative rights program, so we continue with that work in this year as well. You'll also note that rural development is really very much a transversal function and would cut across all spheres of government as well as across all sector departments. And for that purpose, we have last year already approved through Cabinet a district capacitation framework system where we actually then work in capacitating districts and local municipalities to help them in championing many of the initiatives that we will be working with. So for this year, as you will see now when the team begins to present, we will continue driving the AgriPass program in all 44 districts of the country. We will continue with the fast tracking of the settlement of labor tenant claims. You will note that last year there were several issues raised with the department around the settlement of labor tenant claims. So this year we have put strong emphasis in terms of the settlement of those claims. We will continue with the acceleration of the strengthening of relative rights program, as well as then the one household, one hectare program, and then the revitalization of rural towns and villages. Those would be the core programs that we will talk to when we talk in terms of the APP. And like indicated, we will then continue to prioritize women, youth, and people with disabilities in terms of all of the programs that we are implementing. And the key objective then to develop small, medium enterprises and household enterprises that can help us to turn around the economy in terms of the rural space. I'm going to share with your permission then we hand over to the team that will present the details in terms of the annual performance plan. Noting that program 4 we will omit today as we dealt with it yesterday, the restitution program. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members. DM, Acting DG, the Executive Management of the Department, and all my colleagues. My name is Nomonde Mnukwa. I'm the Chief Director, Corporate Services. So the unit strategic planning reports under me. Basically, I'm going to be talking about the indicators and targets. The CFO next to me will link my presentation to the actual budget based on the project. Okay, generally we adopted the rural economic transformation as a department, and it works around three phases. If you look at the bottom, our phase one is the meeting of the basic human needs. That's where we talk about the one household, one hectare program, the one household, two dairy cows program. And our phase two talks to enterprise development. I'll get into details in the presentation, but around the strengthening of relative rights of the people working the land, that's our phase two. And our phase three is agro-villages, industries, credit facilities, and markets. That's more around our agri-parks. But generally, as the acting DG has said, our work cuts across all sectors of departments and across all spheres of the government. I'll start with our program one, which is administration. Our strategic objective indicator there is the percentage compliance with all public sector legal prescripts by 2020. So our aim is that by 2020, we should be 100% compliant with all public sector legal prescripts. So getting to detail, part of what we are planning to do this financial year is to make sure that we pay 100% of all valid invoices within 30 days. The second one is we're targeting to have the unqualified audit opinion in this financial year. So I'll more focus on this financial year. And also say the APP that we circulated this document, it has got quarterly targets as well. And then our on our program two, which is geospatial and cadastral services, we are targeting to have 929,241 deeds and documents registered. Out of those, 18,454 is going to be in Eastern Cape, 45,844 will be in Free State, 490 will be in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal will have 125. The reason why we have zero in Limpopo, oh, no, we have the presentation, the PowerPoint presentation one. Sorry. Okay. Sincere apologies for that, honorable members. On the one that is in the slide, we tried, because it was a technical error that we noted, but on the one that we are presenting, we tried to correct that. The reason why we have zero in Limpopo is that the office, the DIS office has just been opened in Limpopo while we had already completed the planning. So the Gauteng numbers will include the DIS for Limpopo. And then in terms of the district rural development plans facilitated for implementation, we're targeting to have 35 district rural development plans, implementation plans. 5 in Eastern Cape, 3 in Free State, 2 in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, 6, 5 in Limpopo, 2 in Mpumalanga, 4 in Northern Cape, 4 Northwest, and 4 Western Cape. We also want to make sure that we continue, because this is an old indicator as well, we continue to make sure that the deeds are made available within 7 days from lodgement for execution. That's more talking about efficiencies now. So we're targeting to make sure that 95% of all the deeds are made available within 7 days from lodgement to execution, for execution. And we are targeting to make sure that we're taking 14 number of working days to process registerable diagrams, sectional plans, and general plans. That's also talking to more efficiencies. And the number of maps of the national map series produced or reviewed, we're targeting to have 204. That 204, if you look, the majority is in Limpopo, which is 74, and Gauteng and Mpumalanga, we have zero. And it's followed by the Limpopo is followed by, the Limpopo is followed by Free State, and then followed by Northern Cape. Then coming to program three, which is the rural development program. That's where we have RAID, which is our rural enterprise and industry development and rural infrastructure development. We planning to provide 70% support towards rural economic transformation, and we are planning to provide 18,720 opportunities for successful implementation of the CRDP program. Then getting to the specifics of that, we are looking at having infrastructure projects facilitated to support production, and this financial year we're targeting to have 120 infrastructure projects facilitated to support production. Eastern Cape 15, Free State 10, Gauteng 5, KwaZulu-Natal 44, Limpopo 15, Mpumalanga 15, Northern Cape 4, Northwest 10, and Western Cape 2. And then the number of agri-parks infrastructure projects facilitated, we're planning to have 53 infrastructure projects that are supporting agri-parks. 8 in Eastern Cape, 4 in Free State, 4 in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal 11, Limpopo 6, Mpumalanga 5, Northern Cape 5, Northwest 6, and Western Cape 4. We're also planning to have a socio-economic project facilitated in support of the revitalization of rural towns and villages. We're planning to have 30 projects, 2 in Eastern Cape, 5 in Free State, 5 in Gauteng, 1 in KZN, 2 Limpopo, 4 Mpumalanga, Northern Cape 1, Northwest 3, and Western Cape 7. And the number of new agricultural enterprises supported in the 44 districts aligned to agri-parks, we are planning to support 141 agricultural enterprises in this financial year. Those are made of 19 for Eastern Cape, 13 for Free State, 7 in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal 31, Limpopo 16, Mpumalanga 10, 13 in Northern Cape, 13 in Northwest, and Western Cape 19. And the number of new non-agricultural enterprises supported in the 44 districts, 9 in Eastern Cape, 7 in Free State, 1 in Gauteng, 10 in KwaZulu-Natal, 5 in Limpopo, 7 in Mpumalanga, 7 in Northern Cape, 4 in Northwest, 5 in Western Cape. That's making a total of 55 for the whole country. And the number of skills development opportunities provided in rural development initiatives, we are planning to have a total of 6,612, which 3,000 is for RAID, which is the Rural Enterprise and Industry Development, and 3,612 is the Rural Infrastructure Development. So for RAID, the 3,000 ones, Eastern Cape 350, Free State 250, Gauteng 270, KwaZulu-Natal 800, Limpopo 280, Mpumalanga 280, Northern Cape 270, Northwest 250, and Western Cape 250. And then for the rural infrastructure development, the 3,612 is divided into two. We have those that are for the rural disaster mitigation part, which is 1,480. Eastern Cape is 250, Free State 200, Gauteng 200, KwaZulu-Natal 0, Limpopo 250, Mpumalanga 300, Northern Cape 0, Northwest 280. And that gives us a total of 1,480 of the 3,612. And then the balance is for the NARESEC program, which Eastern Cape has got 411, Free State 325, Gauteng 200, KwaZulu-Natal 272, Limpopo 90, Mpumalanga 145, Northern Cape 159, Northwest 402, and Western Cape 108. And the number of opportunities created in rural development initiatives, we have a total of 5,448, RAID is 2,918, and RIP is 2,530. So the breakdown for the 2,918 for RAID is Eastern Cape 360, Free State 183, Gauteng 195, KZN 810, Limpopo 300, Mpumalanga 280, Northern Cape 280, Northwest 260, and Western Cape 250. And the ones for RID, we have Eastern Cape 500, Free State 200, Gauteng 120, KwaZulu-Natal 500, Limpopo 300, Mpumalanga 300, Northern Cape 155, Northwest 300, and Western Cape 155. And I'm going to jump program 4, which is restitution, as per the information shared by the administration. So I'll go to program 5, which is the land reform. The land reform, the targets that we have in terms of... Thank you so much. I didn't see that. we have the percentage of acquired land allocated to smallholder farmers. So it means the, all the land that we allocate, 50% of it should be allocated to smallholder farmers, 10% should be allocated to the people living or and working on the farms, and then the other indicator talks to the functionality of the land tenure system, which includes our OVG and CPAs and etc. So the number of hectares to be acquired in 2017-18 is 96,165. Of those hectares, we have 19,229 in Eastern Cape, 7,521 in Free State, Gauteng 2,500, KwaZulu-Natal 14,169, Limpopo 8,183, Mpumalanga 10,500, Northern Cape 15,252, Northwest 12,000, Western Cape 6,811. And out of that, we had said 50% would be allocated to smallholder farmers. So we have 48,000 of the land to be acquired to be allocated to smallholder farmers. And the breakdown is Eastern Cape 6,137, Free State 6,061, Gauteng 1,250, KwaZulu-Natal 7,595, Limpopo 4,616, Mpumalanga 4,755, Northern Cape 7,073, Northwest 6,000, and Western Cape 4,513. And the number of hectares to be allocated to farm dwellers and or labor tenants, we had said 10%, so that's 9,600. The breakdown is Eastern Cape 909, Free State 513 hectares, Gauteng 50, KwaZulu-Natal 3,827, Limpopo 5,700, Mpumalanga 1,837, Northern Cape 953, Northwest 200, and Western Cape 734. And the number of farms on strengthening of relative rights policy acquired would be 8 in this financial year, 2 in each province. And the number of households supported under one household, one hectare program would be 5,000 in this financial year. 750 Eastern Cape, Free State 500, Gauteng 150, KwaZulu-Natal 675, Limpopo 1,010, Mpumalanga 500, Northern Cape 565, Northwest 297, Western Cape 563. And the number of households supported under one household to dairy cows program will be a total of 384, with Eastern Cape having 234, Limpopo 100, Northern Cape 50. Sorry. And the number of jobs created in the land reform program would be 5,500. Eastern Cape would have 750 jobs, Free State 500, Gauteng 150, KwaZulu-Natal 675, Limpopo 1,010, Mpumalanga 500, Northern Cape 555, Northwest 297, and Western Cape 563. And the number of communal property associations supported to be compliant with the legislation will be supporting 266 CPAs this financial year. Not that the others are not going to be taking care of them, we will, but we'll be more focusing to make sure the 266 are fully compliant. The Eastern Cape will be 46, Free State 10, Gauteng 12, KwaZulu-Natal 40, Limpopo 40, Mpumalanga 30, Northwest 10, Northern Cape 40, and Western Cape 28. And the number of labor tenants applications settled this financial year will be 1,434, with KwaZulu-Natal having the highest of 1,000, followed by Mpumalanga 401, then Free State 16, Limpopo 10, Eastern Cape 4, Gauteng 2, and Northwest 2. And the number of state land parcels confirmed and vested will have 686. Eastern Cape 500, Gauteng 62, KwaZulu-Natal 17, Limpopo 17, Mpumalanga 10, Northern Cape 80, that makes 686. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much,
Chair.
No more. Are there any questions?
also read on slide number 38. Oh, sorry. If you go back from the last page, you go one, two, three, four, five. Page five from the last page. The number is the first 1,500. So the next international list.
Is that a
play? Yes. Yes. Just to correct the national target, 5,500. Yeah, 5,500 instead of 5,000. No, number of jobs is complicated.
It should be 5,000.
Oh, it should be 5,000.
Good morning, sir, and members, and colleagues. I'll be presenting the appropriated budget for the department for the 2017-18 financial year. This is in response to it's in response to the request that you made yesterday for the accrual. So I thought I would start with that before. Because if you look at the old presentation we gave you, it did not have this slide. We circulated this morning. And in terms of accruals, which is mostly the goods and services and mostly the traveling expenditure, and the normal expenses for the department, we have got 88.5 million accruals, and the payables are 64.5 million, and commitments are 7.7 billion. On the commitments, we've got for normal goods and services at 5.6 million, and the tenders that we have awarded, which normally because of the infrastructure nature of the work that we do, it goes over a number of years. We've got 1.6 billion there, and the balance of grants, which is the grants that we used to give on LRD, we've got 677,000. Recapitalization commitments at 375 million and restitution at 5.7 billion, making the total of commitments 7.7 billion. This is for 2016-2017 financial year that we just closed, that is still going to be audited. Now, when I talk to the budget, all these, more especially the ones that are on commitment, when we do our procurement plans, we've already factored them in. except for restitution. For the normal things like your contracts and your logis and bus, when we do our procurement plan, we already factor them in as a carryover project. So we first deduct them from the budget and what is remaining, then we plan for the new current financial year. The appropriation is 10.184 billion compared to 10.124 billion for last year, financial year, of which 16.9% of that we are allocated to administration, 1.7 billion. National Geomatics Services, 6.6%. Rural Development, yes, 18.8% of that, and Restitution, 31.9%. And Land Reform, 25.8% of the budget. In terms of the value, administration gets 1.7 billion. National Geomatic Services gets 672 million. And Rural Development, 1.9 billion. And 924 million of that is on infrastructure. We will be doing the AgriPark and the revitalization of rural towns and villages, and the irrigation schemes and animal and salt. And on REID, we get 553 million, and that's where we do the enterprise development and skills development. Restitution is 3.2 billion, mostly is for the acquisition of land for restitution purposes and financial compensation, and the services that goes with that, such as your research and your conveyancing and legal costs. Land reform, 2.1 billion goes to the land redistribution and development. That's where we'll be doing the 1 household, 1 hectare, the 50-50 land acquisition, and recap on commitments that we already have, as I've shown on the previous slide, that we've got commitments. And on the land tenure, we've got 496 million, balancing to 10.1 billion. That is just a pie chart on the allocation of the budget. And the bigger chunk goes to land restitution, followed by land reform, and then rural development and administration. NGMS gets a smaller portion. In terms of economy classification, on compensation of employees, 2.1 billion or 21.5%. I have slides as we go down that will talk more to compensation of employees, because I thought we need to just present it, because previous time we indicated that we don't have enough funding for the salaries. Goods and services at 1.7 billion or 16.8%, and provincial and local government, that is the rates and taxes for the land that we have on in the department, the state land and the communal land, is at 67.5 million, and our departmental agencies, which is the two that we fund, which is your ALA and the ITB, is at 1.4 billion, or rounded up to 1.5 billion, or 14.7%. A household sitting at 4.6 billion, and machinery and equipment at 24 million, and software and other intangible assets at just below 1 million. Totaling 10.184 billion. You would see that a bigger portion of the budget is sitting on household and transfers, which is just above 61% if you take the departmental agencies and the households together, because those are service delivery. They are above 60%, and then your 20% and 17% on goods and services and salaries. And that is just the pie chart on the economic classification. You can see that compensation is at 21.6%, 46% on households, and 16.9% on goods and services and 14.7% on departmental agencies. We, on most of what we have projected, they would be sitting on the administration, and we thought we should just show it because administration seems to be sitting with quite a lot of 16.9%. But it's because there are services that we centralize, like your bank charges, audit fees, audit committees, and bursaries, legal services, recruitment, office accommodation, fleet services, municipal services. Those are all sitting within administration, and they take up almost 1 billion of the 1.7 billion, which is the services that we centralize so we can manage them better. How the budget is sliced between core and support, you can see that support is sitting with 7.1% of the budget, and the organizational needs take 9.8%, and the core sit with 83.1% of the total 10.1 billion. And in terms of the pie chart, 83.1% is on core. And organizational needs that serves everyone in the department is 9.8%, and 7.1% is for support. Provincial office allocation of the 10.1 billion, 6.4 billion is allocated to the provinces. Eastern Cape is at 11.1% or 712 million. Free State is sitting with 441.9 million or 6.9%. Gauteng allocated 412 million or 6.4%. KZN 1.2 billion or 19.9%. Limpopo 925 million. Or 14.4%, Mpumalanga 1 billion or 16.3%, Northern Cape 448 million or 7%, Northwest 644, 10%, and Western Cape 525.7 million, 8.2%. And the total is the 6.4 billion. And that is just a pie chart of the allocation. In terms of the economic classification, how the 6.4 billion is going to be used, 1.3 billion will go to compensation, equaling 21.53%. 345.8 million will go to goods and services, 5.37%. Provincial and local government, 67.5 million, that's rates and taxes. And household is 4.6 billion, or 71.8%, and machinery and equipment is 10.2 million. And those are the page allocation, page classification. Now, we went and put pay a program within in the province, all the programs that will be running. We allocated for the NARISEC, Eastern Cape, in fact all of them except Mpumalanga had 40.4 million per province. The reason it's equal is because we give we bring the same number of students in every province, which is about 300 per province, except for Mpumalanga because they were trading a bit behind, but the rest is equal. So the costing meant that all of them will get equal based on the number of the students that they would be training this year. Rural infrastructure development, is 814.4 million, Eastern Cape 855 million, Free State at 58 million, Gauteng 56 million, KZN 158 million, Limpopo 87 million, Mpumalanga 98 million, Northern Cape 38 million, Northwest 69 million, and Western Cape 69 million. We've got at National, the project management unit, we have put aside 25 million for that. All these that have been allocated here have been costed. We know what projects will be run where for how much. Hence, you see that we've allocated the way we have allocated. On infrastructure, we've got quite a lot of projects that are multi-year projects that most of them are carry through from the previous years. On rural infrastructure, rural enterprise and industrial development, we've got 384 million, and Eastern Cape is 64.6 million, Free State 36.4 million, Gauteng 25.5 million, KZN is 83.7 million, Limpopo 45.9 million, Mpumalanga 33.3 million, Northern Cape 32.3 million, Northwest 34.3 million, and Western Cape is 27.6 million. Restitution, I will jump the present yesterday. LRD, Land Redistribution and Development, they've got 396 million. This is only for the household or the communal land, excluding the strategic land acquisition side, that the land acquisition, the 50-50, and the balance of the recapitalization commitments that we are sorting out. Eastern Cape is 40 million, Free State 17 million, Gauteng 20 million, KZN 117 million, Limpopo 38 million, Mpumalanga 76 million, Northern Cape 17 million, Northwest 48 million, and Western Cape 20 million. Land tenure and administration 95.8 million. And Eastern Cape 600,000, Free State 2 million, 8 million in Gauteng, KZN 7 million, Limpopo 700,000, Mpumalanga 31 million. That's where we have a whole lot of tenure project going on in the claims. Northern Cape 1 million and Northwest 29 million and Western Cape 15 million. And for the departmental agencies, we've got agricultural land holding account at 1.4 billion, Ingonyama Trust at 19.7 million, Valua General at 49.8 million, and South African Geomatics Council at 4 million, totaling 1.493 billion. And LTA recent taxes, Eastern Cape at 5.2 million, Free State 522,000, the same, KZN 3 million, Limpopo 2 million, Mpumalanga 46 million, 1.7 million at Northern Cape and Northwest 1.4. This is in terms of the spread of the land. You see that it's not equal across. Then we've got the COE, which is the salary. We've got the headcount of 4.3 million. This, you would see that it differs quite a lot with what we have presented previously. 4,300. My apologies. I think the millions. My apologies. We have tried to reduce the headcount to equal the budget that we have. It's not necessarily to say this is what is supposed to be there. Most of the positions that have been vacated, we have not been able to fill them. Number of posts approved on the establishment amounted to 4070. Of these posts, 3995 were filled and 75 were vacant. We gained 117 employees while 279 employees were lost. So we've got an overall loss of 213 employees. Yet we are saying that the vacant posts are 75. It's because we have tried to catch just to remain within what we are able to fund, what we've been given by the National Treasury. But if we have lost 213 that we have not been able to replace, you can see the impact on service delivery here. That is just the headcount pay program, total 4358 and administration 1467. NGMS 1057, 482 on rural development, 735 restitution, and 617 on land reform. And the funded post and the approved on the establishment is equal for both. Number of posts additional to the establishment, 363. And a large number of them sitting with NGMS 286 because we do quite a lot of training today. Number of posts filled, 3995. And if we go to the vacant, we've tried to put it back to 75 because 75 is what we are able to fund. Over and above that, we are not able to fund, but it's crippling the service delivery. This is just the movement to show we've got new appointments that are 70. We've got transfers into the department 15. Internal promotion 32. We've got gains totaling those three is 117. We've lost 8 employees due to death, resignation 148. Retirement 17, dismissal 3. Internal promotion 32. Transfers out of the department 71 and the total is 279, so we're at a deficit of 230 officials. We've got a budget of 2.1 billion and projected expenditure is 2.1 billion, which include expenditure of 77 million on learnership and internship stipends at 20 million, overtime at 23, and performance bonus at 32.9. We project a saving amount of 5.4 million, which is not there because we have not factored in the increase for the senior management. This is just a projected expenditure. On ALA, overview, we've got the budget allocation that has decreased by 6% for the financial year 2017-18 and 2% on 2018-2019 respectively. These decreases are clearly depicted from the initial baseline allocation that has been revised year on year basis, and the implementation of the 50-50 by NEF continues on the outer years. We have budgeted 525 million for 17-18 and 551 for 18-19 and 579 for 19-20. And we, if you look at it, it's on average 5% increase throughout the period. 1 hectare, 1 household program was introduced in 16-17. We'll be running it throughout the MTF period. And we've got 106 million budgeted for the current financial year. 112 for 18-19 and 19-20 will be 18.8 million. The program purpose is to provide comprehensive farm development to support household and farms participating in one household, one hectare initiative. We have got a PMU unit now managing our farms for us, doing all things including the farm verification and helping us with the plans and monitoring of the performance or the productivity in the farms, and that we have budgeted 71 million for 2017-18 and again 71 million for 2018-19, and we budgeting for their exit in 2019-20 at 35 million. How we're trying to do this is to make sure that there is skill transfer within the department to make sure that by the time they exit we have got the skills required to manage these farms from within the department. Transfers, original E&E allocation was 1.5 billion that was allocated in November, and in January they came and cut 144 million and again further they cut 2.9 million making it 1.4 billion. And allocation per item, we've got land acquisition at 422.8 million. We've got 50-50 at 525 million, planning at 19.3 million, and that will bring us to 967 million. The recapitalization and development commitment is at 221.6 million, one household, one acre, 106 million, and total is 327. And if you add those two, it's 1.295 billion. Now we've got other expenses that we incur to run the entity itself at 5.8 million, curator fees at 71.1 million, and project management unit, project management unit is 71 million, and curator fees is 5.8 million. Rates and taxes is at 47 million, totaling 124 million. And balancing back to the 1.4 billion that we have allocated. Now, land acquisition per province, we've got 121.5 million on Eastern Cape, Free State 101 million, Gauteng 91.5 million, KZN 130 million, Limpopo 120 million, Mpumalanga 1.7 million, Northern Cape 88 million, Northwest 142 million, and Western Cape 44 million. And in total is 967 million. Recap and development, so these are the commitments, and one household, one hectare. Eastern Cape 41 million, Free State 32.8 million, 27.5 million Gauteng, KZN 44.6, Limpopo 32.8, Mpumalanga is sitting at 32.8, Northern Cape at 44.1 million, Northwest 30 million, and Western Cape 42 million, totaling 327 million. Rates and taxes at 50.4 million, and Limpopo 1.2 million, Northern Cape 2.2 million, Western Cape 2.6 million, Gauteng 5.5 million, Free State 6.3 million. Northwest at 6.5 million, KZN 7.2 million, Eastern Cape 7.9, and Mpumalanga 10.6 million. These are just allocations versus the targets, which Ms. Nukwa has already presented, and this also she has already presented. Sorry, Chair. No. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. Are there any additions to this presentation?
No, thank you, Chair. We can.
Honourable members of the evening to the presentation and the budget attached to the the diagnostic department. The people from the African, but they're talking about the 2 one household, one sector, one household, two chemicals. We are very good at the comments. Because we don't have those policies. So if we oversight, what is it that we are oversighting? Can it be accepted? But in the question, this specific year, in the question, this policy for several times, but it's not really accepted. Only by making this presentation, one household, two dairy cows, one household, two dairy goats, one household, two dogs. We don't know what is the economic perspective. We are blamed really because Honorable Ocean, Honorable Robertson, Honorable Magada, Honorable Magella, Honorable Papa.
Chair, I really would like to commend you for the remarks that you've made, because that was going to be also my point of departure, where we called the very first committee meeting we had after the 2014 election to recall the whole issue of the 50-50 policy that in fact on a number of occasions opposed the program of this committee on the basis of policies not that's discussed up in the media, that you see at conferences, but they don't officially come to this committee, and then we expect you to comment in a report about this and policies that we've not seen. So I would like to strongly support what you are saying, and I really think that the committee should insist that these policies come to the committee, that we can make an informed, have an informed role that we can play there. So I strongly support what you are saying, and so for example, if you say there's 18 pilot projects for the 50-50 project. What does it actually mean? How does it compare to the draft documents that we unofficially received at conferences? So, you know, I think the room for misunderstanding in a charged political atmosphere that we have certainly gets enhanced by this lack of information, and I would like to strongly support all these policies that are being referred to as a matter of urgency to come to the committee.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for this report. Just a couple of questions. I just looked at on the last presentation on page 4 to 5. Rural development is 18.4% of the budget. Has that, I probably missed it somewhere in the presentation, has that increased rural development from the last period, 18.8%? Do you think that 18.8% is a sufficient amount of the total budget for rural development? I also want to just ask if you guys have got the figures offhand, what is the total allocation percentage allocation under the budget for skills development, and then the NARISEC students or the NARISEC program, has that increased, the number of students that we've been able to absorb, has that increased or has that decreased from the last period? Thanks.
I know that in my everything that you are, but I haven't seen any problem. Secondly, on page 24, number of infrastructure projects that we did to support the country. Is this information coming from the provinces or? I'm not clear. Infrastructure. 44 in my province. The number is 44. And also on page 25, people offering says this number of development opportunities provided in rural development initiatives. There are two problems that have zero. What do you mean by that? And also that says support under one household one head. You know, what is the criteria for this household in the house? And lastly, the state land parcel on 5.3 state land parcel. Sometimes there's the fence. I'm not seeing the state land parcel in elaborate.
Thank you very much, my name is Ian, which is everyone from colleagues. I'll be very short, Chair. On one of those, on number pages, in the CFS, thank you for the presentation. Apart from the CFS, the issue of relationships and contingents. It is summarized under the COE presentation. I just want to inquire that whether the that amount that has been indicated there is that very much similar, or is it a reference to the America the same development or what is referred to in other sections? About the two reports. Is that one in the same? Or is it a relationship, the stipends, the relationship in the internship, something completely a separate to that relationship? Chair, also a question, this question is based on an inquiry for the Department of Basic Education. Following some engagement with the Presidential Commission on the Remuneration and Conditions of Service of Public Sector Workers. The report I received yesterday indicated there are 2,800 disabled teachers and disabilities are listed. But the report also indicates there's absolutely no provision made for reasonable accommodation for these teachers. They're literally on their own. Now, I would wish to inquire whether somewhere in the COE there has been provision made for reasonable accommodation. In particular, in relation to Braille, is it say it's necessary for JAWS, if it's necessary, sign language interpretation, if it's necessary, those kind of things. Because nowhere is there any reflection or indication of that. Because, Chair, as I want to indicate, is that those are the kind of things that make it literally impossible for government to achieve its 2% target, Chair.
I must say that the citizens are best to go overside, because it tells you what is going to happen anywhere at all. I just need to have time and study this and take the time allocated to different functions. My last time will be done. Otherwise, it is very difficult. It will make our life and work much easier. The another side, there were very negative media reports in the past about another side problems. People not being paid their stipend, some of them getting certificates without even attending classes. Those were just quite negative sidelines. And if people get certificates when they don't attend, what does that imply? In financial terms, it becomes very important. And Christmas expense, if you are paying people who, when you look back on people who are not attending classes, and you are not even going to get it. And with those certificates, it will, in a way, drag the name of every board who is not married. That maybe they just got the certificate. That's the only thing I wanted to say.
Thank you, Professor. Thank you to the department for this presentation. I have two questions. The first one is on page 7. I see in Popo you said that for the new chief office, and the others are reflecting that they've always had these offices. Does this mean that now every deed that is registered will be registered in that particular province? Because in my past experience, when I worked for the land bank, we used to send a lot of deeds from maybe Port Elizabeth to Western Cape, and you find others from Fribourg going to Pretoria and things like that. So my question is, will all provinces now do their own deeds? And will it be restricted that you across a provincial border? That's the first question. And then the second question I have is, in most of these pages where you've given us numbers of agri parks, numbers of skill development, number of socio-economic facilitators in support, etc., etc., etc. What informs the figures across the provinces themselves? How do you decide that Mpumalanga gets so much and Eastern Cape gets that much? I don't know if you have to do them one by one. For instance, with the number of maps of the national map series produced, Mpumalanga is not producing anything, and Gauteng, why is that? So maybe just for my understanding, you know, page 24, number of infrastructure projects. Western Cape has got 2, whereas KwaZulu-Natal has got 44. So what is the thinking behind the allocation of all of these? Say goes with AgriPub, you know, all of that. What is the thinking behind it? I think I'll stop there for now, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for mentioning the question. The status publishing. But the question will ask to approve the organic plan. Nothing informed that is too much. But there seems some allocation of the what is it that the department is doing? What is it that the president is doing?
with this. We want to talk about the mega co-op. But now that it was decided about, can you just get what is the status of the mega co-op? looking at your report, there's an indication that the number of employees is in the last week. What is the reason? You conduct the interview. Why is that a huge number of people residing? Also looking at the your employee wellness program, which has been the number of people and are you taking this employee wellness program seriously? Or is just a matter of compliance? The person of the amendment actually and also the things that you intend to take on this community. Where can we just look for the budget allocation? Because after those things have been passed, then they need to be implemented. Where can we get the allocation for such? If the 95 people were on request, the last batch. So when looking at 2018 is 95, 1819 is 9, 1918 is 9, so that we are clear that the 95 is the last people that will be funded. Honorable Matela has raised something on the internship and learnership. If you want to talk about the incubation for graduates, can you talk to me that there are some graduates in the state on this exam? There's a training to assist, you know, beneficiaries to improve their production. Can you just say something about that? The last one is the issue of the facilitation, the narrative. You know this narrative is the same as the children. Because most of our children go to school, some children, but up to now 2 years, they don't have anything. Then what is the impact? Okay, so why keep on training people while at the end of the day they remain with no paper, they are unemployed, you know, they just go to training, development and go back home and what is happening really? Can you just verify that to us? Honorable Papa Madena, I'm going over to the 1850s.
Thank you, Chair. I just have a couple of more questions on the budget itself. I see that the department is spending about 24 million on overtime. Well, their budget has spent 24 million. What is this overtime for? And would it not be better to give days off than spending 24 million on overtime? I just need to know what is the reason for the overtime and can we not give them days instead of money compensation? Also, I think I heard the presenter saying that they have now a project management unit. I think that was the CFO said. And this project management unit is comprised of external people. And I think I heard you saying that you you are expecting that these people, the external people, would do a transfer of skills to your internal people. Is there a program for this exchange of skills? How is it measured? How is it done? Because we know that, you know, if we don't actually have a program for the exchange of skills, it will not happen. So can we have sight of that program
the state transfers. Because I think we have budgeted right up to 2019-20 for this PMU. So where is the PMU transfer happening? It should actually, the budget should actually be decreasing, in my mind, if you are having a PMU transfer problem within the state.
It looks like we're meeting under a bridge.
Thank you for sure.
Me too.
It's for 3 years. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. I think let me first start by apologizing with regard to the number of programs and policies that we speak of in our APP that you are not fully aware of. So we will undertake, Chairperson, to package all of the policies that we speak of and give you a package by early next week. They are there. We have, like you were saying, Honourable Walters, been distributing them at various workshops and sessions, so we will make sure that we do have the correct signed-off documentation in this regard. I think, although I just want to touch on the one policy that you referred to in terms of the 50-50, the strengthening of relative rights, and the question from Honourable Walters is the 18 pilots that we've been implementing and what does it mean? Remember that when we first started out with the strengthening of relative rights or the 50-50, it had a particular connotation which many people objected to in terms of the way we had structured the policy. But what we found was that farmers were actually very much accepting to participate with the department and with the farm dwellers and workers on their farms, and they came forward with proposed models of how this could be done. So it may not always equal exactly 50-50. It may not always equal, you know, the timing, et cetera, that was linked to an occupier or a worker. But what has been happening in terms of all of those that we've already approved is that it allows for some kind of equity between the farmer as well as the people that are living and working on farms. And in many cases, some of them even exceed the 50% in favor of the occupier and workers. We have already, in this case, also launched some of them. And we have already approved those 18 that we speak of, and they are in the process of being transferred at the moment. So we will also, Chairperson, make a list available to you of those that we have distributed, that we have approved already. In terms of the rural development budget, I will ask CFO when it comes to her time to take that one in terms of whether the budget has been declining as well as the allocation in terms of skills. In terms of the NARISEC program, I think that indeed last year we had 2,700 as our target for intake, and this year I think we have 2,132. So it is a slight decline, but we need to understand what we are measuring. Hopefully it wasn't saying sorry to my response, but what has happened is that because of the challenges we face in terms of the TVET colleges, etc., the number that we are accounting for is the number that we can get certified within this period of time. So there is a slight decline in terms of the number for this financial year from the previous financial year. It does not, though, mean that we will decrease the numbers that we are recruiting into the program. The measure here is when we're exiting them from the program. In terms of the progress on the agri-parks, Honourable Member, indeed, you often hear of agri-parks all over the country. There has been significant progress being made. There are 11 agri-hubs that are already under construction. One of them recently visited even by the President was in Gauteng. The one in the Western area. We have another one in the Eastern Cape in Chris Hani that is already functional, And then obviously the very first one that I presented as well last year sometime in Springbokpan, that is also functional. So different ones across the country are at various stages of development, and what I again will commit to do is to give you a detailed progress report, because they are agri hubs, remember, plus farmer production support units. So in a district, there may be a significant amount of work happening at the level of farmer production support units as well. So we will give you that in terms of the progress. In terms of the number of infrastructure projects to support production, where is it coming from? Remember that all of the targets come from the work of our provincial offices in the provinces, having worked closely with the Department of Agriculture, having worked closely with the smallholder farmers, as well as the communal areas in that space. So the type of projects that we use to support production is what the CFO referred to as your irrigation schemes or your river valley catalytic projects, where we bring in irrigation infrastructure to support production. In KZN, for example, there has been more than 2,000 hectares that have been brought into production because of the nature and type of infrastructure that has been put down in several of the communal areas in KZN, including pump houses, irrigation systems, infield irrigation systems, etc. The animal and fowl management program is another one of infrastructure to support the work of farmers. Around that we do fencing, we do dip tanks, we do boreholes, etc. And that's the type of project that I referred to that will support or help to increase the type of production that is happening on a farm. In terms of the rural disaster mitigation and why some provinces would have zero and other provinces would have a target, the rural disaster mitigation one that we refer to here is really skills training in various types of skills like waste management, like firefighting, fire breaks, etc. Now, some of the provinces, when we count the number of skills here, we are counting them when they are concluded. So some of those provinces, the communities that we are working in, have been trained in this last financial year. And when you have a budget that you have to circulate, then it means that we now have to move to some of the other provinces where this work is also needed. For example, there was extensive work done last year in KZN, in northern KZN, as well as central KZN, in Moy River, etc., to assist with the drought as well. So we increased the numbers that were trained, that just concluded their training in the last financial year. And you'll see when we present the annual report, the number of people in those provinces that have been trained. In terms of the support for the one household, 1 hectare, and the criteria for the one household, 2 dairy cows, you'll see clearly that these then are coming from the areas that have been identified aligned to the AgriPath program, because we do not also want to be producing or increasing production in areas and people will not be able to take their surplus to a market. And we want to align all of those programs to each other. So indeed, then the criteria, one of them would be in the spaces that we are working in currently, in those communities or communal areas that we are able to support with regard to the AgriPath as well. Again, you'll find the detailed list of criteria when I circulate also the document next week for the one household, 2 dairy cows as well. We're not doing the one household, 2 dairy cows in all provinces in the country. Remember that also dairy is a specialized type of function, and it cannot also be done in every place, okay? So we are starting it off in certain parts of the country. Limpopo is one of them where we are working in. I just cannot remember off my head the other two provinces. Eastern Cape, yeah, okay? So we are starting it off there, but we are aligning it again in districts where they have chosen dairy as one of their primary commodities within the AgriPath program as well. So that surplus milk flows into that system besides being only accessed for that household. We found, for example, in the Eastern Cape, the community that started with a one household, 1 hectare, were able to take their surplus to the nearby supermarkets in town and are able then to generate surplus income for themselves as well. So those are the kind of criteria that we use. The state land parcels confirmed as vested. Remember that when we became a democracy in 1994, then there was land parcels that were in the name of the Republic from South Africa, etc., and so they had to then be vested correctly now. And some of them still remain vested at the level of national government, and therefore they have to be vested either with a province or with a particular government department that is using those. And that's what we refer to here. So several applications continue to come to the department to vest them then in the correct space so that development can happen. So in order for any disposal or development to happen on the land, it must then be correctly vested with the right sphere of government. So that is what vesting is all about. Honorable Madela, I think your question, are all our skills development programs the same as NARISEC or as the terms that we use for NARISEC? It won't be the same. Some of them are 2-year, and therefore you've seen in the APP we wanted to make the distinction between NARISEC, RDMS skills, and rural enterprise and industry development skills, because they would have different ways of measurement. So NARISEC would be almost a 12-month TVET type program that's facilitated. The others may be short courses, 2-week courses, etc., but all of them will be accredited. But DDG Southgate will also add in terms of that. I think DDG Southgate will also add in terms of the issues of the learnership and internship in general within the department that we offer. In terms of the one on the basic education example that you give, I think again I will ask DDG Southgate and CFO to comment in terms of whether or not we've put up budget allocations for that. Honorable Nchabaleng, thank you in terms of the document itself for your comments. In terms of the NARISEC and the negative media that we've received, I think more specifically the one that was in the media was the one in Mpumalanga, the TVET College in Mpumalanga, where young people were said not to be going to school, but for their portfolio of evidence, pictures then were being submitted to the department, and full portfolios of evidence were being submitted to us to pay for those young people with those colleges. The matter is being dealt with by the department as well as the Department of Higher Education and Training. We've reported the matter and we are conducting a full investigation into the matter, because I think you are correct that it will discredit the entire NARISEC program. What we've also done then is put in tighter controls with all of the TVETs that we have service level agreements with, because in essence, we are using them to offer the service. We cannot conduct this type of training. So we put in tighter controls and visitation also then by our provincial staff to confirm registers of people that are attending, and to also make sure that the curriculum is designed jointly with the department and complied with when we certify those young people. We've also engaged with the relevant CETAs, because they also should be making those follow-up checks when they do the final accreditation of those young people. So that one is indeed being followed through at the moment, and we will be able to report as soon as we get a full report in terms of that investigation. In terms of the DEEs office in Limpopo, indeed there is DEEs that are being registered at the moment across the country in all of those DEEs. So Limpopo DEEs, like CFO was saying, when we had started, when we had started this process, the DEEs office was not open. So the number of deeds they would have registered was clubbed together with the one in Gauteng at this moment in time. So they indeed will register their own deeds at the moment in terms of Limpopo. But remember that there was also provision made where certain provinces would use correspondence that sits in, like you are using the example, sit in Gauteng to lodge their deeds, etc. One of the things we are moving towards is to move towards a fully automated electronic deeds management system, so that will actually be able to apply across the country then. So wherever you are, you'll be able. So that's the work that we are doing at the moment. So the Limpopo deeds office is still quite small, but we have capacitated it for now to be able to deal with what it needs to. But they'll still be able to register if there are challenges. Okay, how do we get to the numbers and the thinking behind the allocations? I'll also ask CFO to add, but in essence we've been looking across in terms of the rural nature of provinces. So you'll often find KZN, Eastern Cape having larger allocations, larger numbers of projects. We also look at the nature and type of interventions that are required in a specific space. So you'll find, again, as far as labor tenants go, KZN and Mpumalanga will have higher allocations, higher targets in order for them to deal with those particular issues. So we have looked at the low levels of income, etc., in different areas. There are certain types of projects, however, that in Western Cape, for example, the question you asked, around the revitalization of rural towns and villages. We know that those are targeted spaces for us to be able to drive up employment levels in those particular villages and towns. So there's different formula used depending on the nature and type of work, but largely linking to the poverty index in those provinces. I think CFO will also answer in terms of the 24 million for overtime as well as the PMU. Chair, again, I had for us now to check, but we have sent through the organogram, but we'll confirm because it seems that you have not received it, but we'll make sure that you do get that. As far as the issue of SLUMA goes, SLUMA itself has moved to the presidency. Remember, the president is going to sign off that for parts of SLUMA to be implemented via the DPME and other parts to be implemented via COGSA. So that indeed, from our side, the legislation itself moved. It does not, however, mean that the component within the department, the spatial land use management component, will move. They are not moving because there's a significant amount of work that they do within the support of rural development as well. So when you see a budget allocated within that component, it is for the work that we have tabled within the APP, like the rural development plans, etc. And the department then will also still support the presidency and COGSA as and when required. But they then have taken over the ownership of that particular legislation. Okay? So we are not dealing with that at the moment. In terms of the 148 employees, BDG Southgate will attend to that. In terms of ESTA amendment and the other bills, at the moment, because the bills are in the process, we may not have budgeted separately. Sorry about that. But you'll find that under the 10-year budget, we still are currently doing work under ESTA. Now, the challenge you always have when you table a budget in the beginning of the year, the bill is not in place yet, okay, but you have to account for all work up front now. We have to say, this is our target, this is the budget allocated to that target. So when the bill gets approved within the course of this year, which will probably be later, towards the second and third quarter of the year, and some of our other bills will come in towards the latter part of the year, we will then take them within those programs that they have come from, because they align to those relevant programs at the moment. The incubation for graduate chairperson that you speak of, most definitely we continue to do that program. You'll find in the detailed IOPs a program for agricultural graduates. Last year in itself, we trained and brought on board, not trained, brought on board 198 agricultural graduates, which we then aligned to the farmer production support units, as well as rural communities across the country. So that program of making sure the graduates are taken in is continuing. And we work very closely then now even with the Department of Agriculture, who are identifying those graduates. We have a full list of the agricultural graduates for the country as well. We also are taking into various other areas, other graduates, and I think DDG Southgate can also add if there are other areas that I've forgotten. The certification of NARISEC, indeed, it is the problem that you have explained, Chair, that we are not able at this moment to deal smoothly with all of the certification because there is still a challenge within the system of the TVET colleges. But what we have done is we are in constant engagement with the Department of Higher Education and Training as well as with the CETAs. We meet regularly with the CETAs and we are able then to push out many more certificates than we were able to in the past. For example, one of the CETAs that we had serious challenges with was in the construction CETA, and over the past year and a half, we've been able to get most of our certificates out from that particular one. We still have one or two challenges around the CETA that deals with those with electrification, etc., especially with some of the TVETs like Anacuba, etc., but we are dealing with that as well. So it's a problem in the modeling that the CETAs have to do certain work after young people have gone through the TVET training. And that is where we seem to have some challenges around the capacity issue. So we are dealing with those as well in terms of that. Chair, just let me also add that in terms of the Dean's Office one, the question that was raised by the Honourable Member, that in terms of the legislation itself, we should be registering in that relevant province. But because of different circumstances, we do register then in some of the other provinces, but we are trying to align, remember now, to the deeds record that would sit in each and every province, and therefore it's very important. For the Limpopo one, we will then also gazette so that we move them back to the correct space at which they are, so people will know. And in Northwest, attorneys have resisted this particular issue. Remember that we wanted to register. That's why you have the problem of Freiburg, and they've already engaged also with Minister, and we have agreement that when we implement then e-lodgement, that is when we will move everything, the one I was referring to around the e-cadastre. But for Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Free State, and KZN, all of that alignment and the records have been moved to the record space in the country. But the Deeds Act has allowed jurisdiction for them to be registered at any point. Thank you, Chair. If, with your permission, I can hand over to CFO and to DD Chikrav.
Thank you. On the percentage of budget for the rural development, the 18.8%, it has remained the same. Last financial year, it was 1.914367 billion. And this year is 1,914,896. It just has gone up by just above 500,000. You will see that across the board, our budget only grew, I think it's about 60 million. There has not been that much growth. In effect, we will mostly catch on rural development and land reform. On the overtime issue, we have been using quite a lot of overtime because you've seen that we have lost quite a number of officials that we have not been able to replace. So we mostly depend on overtime for those employees that can help us. And we've got a policy on overtime. That has been drafted by the DPSA. Officials do not agree today. We have tried that, it doesn't work. They want what is on the policy, and the policy says they must be paid. So either you pay them or they don't work. I think the overtime you have seen, overtime is really serious. They just would push down and not work. And then you have problems if you have time frames to deliver. You either give them the money or they don't work. And you, because we don't have capacity, we are forced to have overtime. The PMU chair, we have contracted them for 3 years. We do have a program. They don't go out alone. They go out with the officials of the department across the country. Wherever we have allocated them, they are working together hand on hand with the officials of the department for the sake of the transfer. We've got monthly monitoring reports that we engage the service provider on, to ensure that whatever we have put as target is being. They started now in March. They are basically new. They were setting up during March. Now they are doing verification. The first month is just finished. I think we will have the first monitoring meeting now in May. The budget has remained constant for this year and next year, but you remember, you will see that in 1920 we only budgeted 35 million, because we know that by that time the training would have matured and our own officials should be able to start carrying out the functions themselves. Thank you.
Okay, this is, I'll deal with the redundancy. The issue on learnership in the department is the difference between the NARISEC program and the learnership that we offer. NARISEC is budgeted for separately. The department has a learnership and internship program that's budgeted for under COE, and we try and accommodate as many internship programs at this stage. Because the learnership requires quite a bit of additional work from a supervisor, and given the lack of capacity, the supervisors cannot spend sufficient time, but it is separate and budgeted for separately under COE. The reasonable accommodation is made provision for in my allocation, in which we set aside, I don't think nearly enough money, but we do have funds for reasonable accommodation when it is required. For persons with disabilities now employed. Then in terms of the numbers of persons who resign, chairperson, we do exit interviews. We do take the information that come out of the exit interviews into consideration when we try and retain staff members and when we try and attract. However, the research is showing us that the pool of employees who have experience in land reform is a very limited one, and especially if you are wanting to accelerate the land reform program and mandate of government, you have difficulty attracting people. We also battle with the private sector in certain of our scarce skills, such as in M&E and such as in IT, where the people are offered quite good salaries. And so we are finding and trying to find alternative ways of retaining our current staff members, especially in our middle management and our senior management positions, where we are leading people to the private sector. But we do conduct the exit interviews and we do take it into consideration when we can. That was enough. Thank you.
My apologies, Chair. We missed out the one on the mega co-op that you had asked. Indeed, we had included the mega co-op 2 years ago in our APP. We have continued to work on it, and last year we registered the first CFI, corporate financing institution, under the umbrella of what would become a mega co-op for the rural arts and crafts women in the country. And they are moving now towards the registration of their bank, cooperative bank for women with rural arts and crafts. And then the NARISEC one is also to be registered in this financial year. Originally, we had thought that we would be able to go very quickly to the highest level one. We were not able to because of the challenges that were existing in terms of the functionality of cooperatives, both with young people as well as women. And we had to first work together with the Cooperative Bank Development Agency, which is with National Treasury. So we've done a full review and analysis, and that's how we were able to register then the first corporate financial institution last year. So they're able to bank on their own from this year once the bank is registered. So we will keep you updated in terms of that as well. In terms of the recap, most definitely the numbers that you see for recap will be the ones that we are phasing out. In terms of recap, we are not going to continue with recapitalization and development. The program, in essence, the criteria or the underlying issues within the recap program that we were dealing with before will move to the Department of Agriculture. You may not see them calling it recapitalization and development within their APP, but they will be attending to the development support that a farmer requires. What we are doing is closing off those ones where we had started support, where we had released a part of the tranche aligned to their business plan. And once that is done, we then will not continue with that support. The farmers then, we have aligned ourselves with the Department of Agriculture and worked out a business process flow so that the farmers then do not get prejudiced by this move, so that we are able to give our full information to DAP and they are able then to take on that support that we have.
I don't think I answered one part of my question. The percentage of allocation more specifically for skill development, whether you can add in monetary value.
manager. The hoping and trusting that my apology was tender, that I was coming a little bit late. That's right, but it's a phenomenon to a smaller party. In any given year, there are two critically important dates in Parliament. But the opening of Parliament, as well as the budget date, 5 minutes of Parliament. And the reason I'm starting there is because on opening, the president would outline what we should expect to happen and so on. And then on budget day, this year in particular, the then minister indicated that there was a shortfall of about 30 billion. Now, the question I want to put to you is, you get allocated a budget, and one of the things that we expect on the ground and public representatives is that through that budget, you will be able to address the issue of job creation so that government can have a revenue in the form of taxes in order to meet further social needs. That's why I started off with that opening remark. Now what I want to know is, with so much money being set aside and utilized to set up agriculture, how much business do you foresee coming out of agriculture? What one would call a return on investment. Because it is out of that business that government would ultimately be able to pick up what it intended to get at the end of the day in the form of taxes, where those people get, say they sell their produce, as well as when they end their salaries, so to speak. How much business do you expect to come out of the agriculture? The second question is, again, in a sense aligned to the first one, this is based on point 3.2. in your presentation, and my first question. The second question is based on 3.1. What is the expected economic impact to result from the infrastructure development? Infrastructure costs quite a bit of money, but one is also aware of the fact that just developing infrastructure creates temporary jobs. Once construction is done, is finished, then you expect, you know, people to utilize that infrastructure. Now, what is this economic impact that we expect after we have set up that infrastructure? Mm-hmm. Again, the return on investment aligned with what government is expected to do. Third question and final one, based on point 5.2 on the land reform. The jobs that you have indicated you expect to be created through that program, are they of a permanent nature? If not, what are the expected terms of those jobs? Are these 8-month jobs, 6-month jobs, 12-month jobs, and so on? I'm asking this question in the context of government's commitment to create job opportunities. I'm aware of the EPWP. I'm quite conversant with it through public ways. But what I want to know is what sort of duration are these people kept in the jobs that you have so beautifully, you know, projected there. Lastly, Chair, does the department, and if so, to what extent, does the department have a program of utilizing the large numbers of graduates that come out of agricultural colleges? I'm asking this question because in the Eastern Cape, about 2 or 3 months ago, 5 posts that were advertised for agricultural graduates attracted 500 agricultural graduates, and only 5 were employed. This is not the Eastern Cape. I can't tell whether some of them came from the 4.3 state and so on. I'm not going to say these applicants came exclusively from the Eastern Cape, but that is a fact. So you can imagine the amount of frustration we're sitting with when only five folks. I'm aware of the fact that government has in a sense frozen, you know, in new folks. And that's why I'm interested to know if now government through its programs is able and actually does create employment opportunities beyond its checkbook. In other words, through programs. Because we can't sit as government and just say, we don't have money, any further budget for compensating our directly employed personnel. We should, as government, be creative enough to say, okay, strategically, we'll establish this program, and that's where we expect employment to be created. So this is a very, very crucial element in the whole exercise of what we are doing. I would want to write my answer. I thank you, sir.
And good morning. I really appreciate all the progress that we are making in our department with these nations. But I just want to raise two or three things. Let me start with what is the extent of that question. Certainly the DM can respond, but I would have been keen to get from the administrative arm of the department. Acting DG, how far is the extent of corruption? Are you able to be honest about this? I'll give you a case study, but in the form of questions on this issue of corruption. Do you have, if you call from the landline from the department head office, does the number show why and why not? If it does, at what point would your officials call people on the ground on private numbers, not identify themselves? I know of definitely. When I was a province, I was emphasizing the issue about name tags and even saying to officials, the DG, the department, you must tell them when you forget your name tag and go into a spa, and somebody says, oh, you're the DG, I see your name tag. You should be proud in actual fact, or you are the chief director. You should be proud in actual fact. I see more people when they go online, they then twist the name tag around. So the government is this faceless animal. And no one would like to really leave the name tag, even for a day. Say for politicians who are known, obviously. You know, when you're in a villa, people will tell you at airports, at the shopping mall, anywhere else in the village. So people will tell you that. But there's this, and I'm on the question of corruption. Would you agree or disagree with me, or go on public record and say, if I give you information from a victim of corruption on blast, where somebody wanted to apply for support for a farm, and was called from this faceless number, I'm coming to see you, you are so and so, you come to the country and say that name, I'm coming to see you, now, they set up an appointment, the person never identified himself or herself, the official, senior ranking official, and went to see that person, and one asked for, I don't know if you know the next killer, in Jonjo. Give us 1 million and we'll work on your thing. No, I don't have, that's why I'm applying. Give us 1 million. Remember, there are people I left behind in Pretoria. So honestly, when I look at all of you, that thing strikes my mind, yeah? And to give further clue, if you're going to check on this SDG, this person was applying for timber processing so that the person who victimized that applicant knows exactly the message. They can't communicate with it. And the applicant was asked, 1 million rand upfront on the spot. Now, if all government departments do this, and if our government department does this, indeed, I would say in the face of my organization, the ANC, then we're not ready. We shouldn't be in power. So there's no government, there's banana republic. People cannot be helped. Imagine the farmers, imagine entrepreneurs. So that's my first issue. And I still think I have a... Now, scorpions will come to me. Oh, there's no scorpions. They give us that information.
Yeah.
Now, at this stage, I'm asking at a theoretical level. The next one, I think, in this session, remember yesterday I made a point that we are basically, the budget was long done in July last year. So whatever we are doing is really more like a formality. I just want Honorable Mbabama raise the issue about what I term here equity, because I know from the Constitution to all policies to the court, the term equity seems to be a very spot-on concept to define and how we can distribute and redistribute. Right. Now, on equity, the first thing I'm just really engaging in, equity should be juxtaposed with equality, but equity should reign supreme and superior. That's why I had a problem with your 27 to 44 the other year. Because you just said, okay, there are 44 districts, divide this budget by 44. But equity means each according to his needs or her needs, taking into consideration a whole range of issues, the historical circumstances, right? The socio-economic indices. It's not only socio-economic indices, I think poverty, you can measure it in some ways. The demographics. You're not going to give 20 people these two cows and give 40 people or of a certain kind of a grouping in demographics. The geotechnical circumstances. Here there's drought or technical circumstances, geographical circumstances in the broader sense. So the technical scientific indicators, that would mean this necessitates that the allocation here be like this. I made a general about geotechnical, but it could be technical of any other kind. The land type, I mean the soil type, it could be the climatic factors and so on. And I do need to say in discussing and unpacking equity, you must also look at the intra-provincial disparity within a province now. Even here in the Western Cape, for example, the CBD is not the same as the informal settlements in Khayelitsha, in Sfaxi, and so forth. So the intra-provincial, it's not just only about allocating within provinces. I think after we peruse these six files, we must be able to feedback to you to say, even within a province, then how do you go and reach the poorest of the poor? But obviously, say again about equity. For one, and in the past 15 years as governance, one has been raising the point. Numbers should always follow the function, the policy, the vision. Sometimes what's happening, I don't know if you do that, that's for you to honestly look at it, either answer it or really look yourself in the mirror. You don't just go to last year's figures and then tweak by 5% every other figure. In 2 days, you're done with budgeting. I'm making examples. Numbers should always be informed by realities and what we seek to actually achieve. More often, one observes that in government, it's a desktop exercise, it's a question of seeing whatever numbers you have. We have been told by Treasury to reduce budget by 7%, then we simply go on desktop exercise. But it should be a thorough exercise, even informed by what we can account for and be proud of, and people stand and put our head on the block and say, if people don't vote us, we'll be proud to have stood for this principle, this vision. And then numbers must then go and follow that. more often the issue of numbers is really put above everything else, and it becomes very, very random, and people look at government as the government that just chair. I was engaging the department to say, department, the second point other than corruption is equity. Grapple with it. Honorable Mbabama raises a very profound question. I agree fully. Equity is the way to go in determining these numbers. And thanks for now beginning to take us through to provinces. I'm saying even intra-provinces. The last one is on the 50-50. But Chair, you raised this question, so I'm just making a follow-up. You see, when you are piloting, it's only fair, if you regard us as principal, to come back and say, from 50-50, this is what we got at NGG, because you now say now. And however you are rolling the program, you are rolling the program already. We have not even had space to interact with observations. Can I give you a hypothesis from where I sit?
Well, TG says it nicely for AMC. We must really be robust in oversight. Can I give you an example?
What if 50-50 is a bailout? Why would someone just come and say, no, I'm preparing to give these workers 50%? What if there's ulterior motive? This person, actually, the farm is going down and therefore is selling the debt to the people, to the occupiers, via government, via the department. The 50-50. Please come back with a summary of what you found in terms of the pilot. And tell us the basics. So Acting DG, in short, my message is Acting DG, the CFO keeps taking your attention. Unless the chief is going to answer. Tell us that these are the lessons from the 50-50. This is what is scientific from the 50-50, strengthen the relative rights of the family. Because, and also tell us, actually, even now, before you come back with the voluminous submission, even now, tell us that those people who are coming forward have productive farms. Please. Tell us, those people who are coming forward have productive farms, they have children and grandchildren. It's not someone wanting to dump now and cash in and go and reconnect with their grandparents and relatives in Australia or somewhere in the US. Yeah. So that's my point on the 50-50. It sounds very nice and appeasing and appealing. But what if the people who come forward are the ones who know there's money government and department is putting in? I've got 300 hectares. I'm prepared to share with these 20 people. Probably I might just cash in 60 million. We don't know. We are in the dark. But we want to be very, very vigilant now because it affects our people on the farm, the dwellers and the occupiers. I leave it on those 3 points. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to add to what Member Mbuni was saying about the 50-50 pilot progress. Mm-hmm. Now, and I want to give my party's perspective, and it's not an attempt to solicit the when you hear my comments, it's actually something that I think might take us forward. The DA position is we encourage, we support share equity schemes that are inclusive, that are commercially successful, that have an impact on the livelihoods of the underprivileged that are supposed to be the beneficiaries of it, and it's not something else that's shielded by the program. So I think there's actually lots of room for